Lord, we do praise You this morning. You're a mighty King. And we thank You, Jesus, that You are alive and You are moving in the day in which we're living. We thank You, Lord, that You are not leaving us asleep in Zion, but You are speaking to us and leading us in Your way, Lord. We thank You for answered prayer. We thank You that we are in a time of revival, Lord, and that we can look forward from this time for great and mighty things to take place. And we praise Your name for that, Lord. You know the needs that are here in each person, young and old. We pray, Lord, You'll meet those needs in the heart, Lord, where no man can see. And You will reach in, Lord, and touch those spots that need touching, Lord. Make Yourself real to each person. We pray that You will heal the sick that are here. We pray, Lord, You'll give moral deliverance and strengthen the will to resist the devil and to serve God. Bless our families, Lord. We have need that You would strengthen our families. We pray, Lord, that this will be a morning of strength, Lord. We know that there's great confusion, great spiritual weakness in the land. And we pray, Lord, according with Your word, that we shall not be as this, but we shall be a great people and a strong. And we pray You'll strengthen us this morning in Your ways and in Your will. And that we will not be weak physically, we will not be weak spiritually, or mentally, or emotionally, or in any other way, but we will be strengthened in the name of the Lord Jesus, regardless of what happens in our culture. That we will be strengthened, and that our needs will be met, and we will shine forth as Your people, Lord. Not as a defeated people, not as a people that are looking to flee, but a people who are in the will of God where they are. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. That we'll be sons and daughters of the King. Straighten up our backs and the weary hands that hang down, and walk as children of the King. We do not trust in ourselves, but in You, Jesus, to do these things. Now, Lord, through Your Spirit, we pray You'll teach us this morning. Deliver, instruct, comfort, and lift up, we pray. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. You may be seated. Is it getting too warm in here? How's the temperature? Is it warm, cold? Hank, how are we doing here, temperature-wise, all right? I think the heater's on. Is it getting a little stuffy? Perhaps. It's hard for me to tell up here. Let's turn to Matthew, the fifth chapter of Matthew, on verses 1 through 10. Read together. It's Doug Bellamy's favorite passage in the Bible. All right. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 10. Here we go. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is that what they said, 1 through 10?
Yeah.
All right. We got there, didn't we? Did I leave off the last one? All right, let's do number 10. I can't remember whether I did or not. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, the kingdom of heaven. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, what it is. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is the same thing, is in heaven. It is God in Christ, in the saints flowing forth to other people. That's what the kingdom is. God in Christ, in the saints, flowing forth to other people. It is the New Jerusalem. It is the kingdom of God. It is the body of Christ. It is the church. All these things are one and the same. It is God in Christ, in the saints, flowing forth to other people. And one point that we've been accenting is this. It's not so much, it is a place. It is, if there is, let me ask that. It's a state of being and also a place. Let me explain that. There is a spiritual, in the spiritual realm above us, there is the New Jerusalem, which God is creating, the Jerusalem which above, Galatians 4, is free, which is the mother of us all. And God and Christ and the saints are there. And it's a holy place filled with glory and with grace. And the environment is wonderful. But it's primarily a state of heaven is what it is because of who is there. Now, we miss that point many times. And we talk about mansions, we talk about diamonds, we talk about rubies, we talk about streets of gold and all this. We don't know ourselves. We don't understand our own thinking. These are not things that make for happiness. Diamonds, there's people who have diamonds around their neck that they can't stand up straight. And they commit suicide. Diamonds, rubies aren't going to make you happy. Streets of gold aren't going to make you happy. That's why we need to straighten out our thinking. Heaven is what it is because of who is there. Now, God is there, and Jesus, and the saints. And the environment is wonderful, but it's not. But the environment reflects the glory of the persons who are there. So if you see what I mean by saying that it is primarily a state of being rather than a place, let me show you. The Bible teaches that God, the throne of God and of the Lamb, are going to come to the earth in the New Jerusalem with the saints. All right, now when God and the saints and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, come to the earth, as the Bible teaches they will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right, now I ask you, would you like to go up into the spiritual realm? Now, mind you, God is not there, Jesus is not there, the saints are not. They've come to the earth. Now, how do you want your gates of pearl? See, without realizing it, what we long for is love and joy and peace. And these things are not found in diamonds and gold. I mean, anybody with any experience on the earth will tell you that. Is that right? Listen, have you ever thought, oh boy, when I buy this new couch, when I buy this sofa, oh man, my dream will come true. How do you feel 2 weeks after you own it? How do you feel 2 weeks after you own it? Then you got to face the payments and your visa and things come through. You forget about it. It didn't bring any lasting peace and joy. Let me point out another way. Suppose you had a choice of living in two houses. One was palatial, beautiful, multi-storied, 8 bathrooms, 12 bedrooms, beautiful house. The other one was just a hut. In the house that was palatial, there was bickering, and the people were at odds. The husband and the wife were fighting. The children were in a commotion. And in the hovel, or in the hut, there was love and joy and peace and the presence of the Lord. Now, which one of those two buildings would you want to live in? You see how much beauty, the exterior environment is not where the action is. It's in relationships. It's in who's there. It's who's there that makes a home. Some of you may want to go back to your childhood. Say, if I want to go back to your childhood home. But there's strangers living. I have strangers living in the house that I was raised in Connecticut. There's strangers. We drove by it one time. 39 Crest Avenue. Drove by that. But there's strangers living there. It isn't home. It wouldn't be home unless my family was there. Is that right? Four walls do not make a prison. They don't make a home. You could have gold in your pockets till you needed suspenders. It wouldn't make you happy. That is where the peace of heart comes in. It is a state of being. It is relationships. It is the presence of God. And that is why the Bible does not use terms like get into heaven or go to heaven. It doesn't even appear in the Bible. We use it, but the Bible doesn't. The Bible talks about inheriting the kingdom. And the kingdom is the presence of God in Christ in the saints flowing out to other people. And where that is, whether it's in prison or whether in a beautiful environment, it's heaven. Where the glory of God in Christ is, we are at peace and rest. But where the glory of God in Christ is not, we are not at peace and rest independently of the environment. Is that right? That is why the New Testament does not stress going to heaven as a place, but it stresses the quality of the people and the presence of the Lord. That's a very important concept, because we have been hung up on the idea, will I get to heaven or not? That is not the issue. The issue is heaven going to get into you or not? See? That's the issue. Because you bring unchanged people into paradise, you have no longer a paradise. The issue is not whether or not you get to heaven. The issue is whether or not you are in Christ, in God, in the secret place of the Most High. That's the issue. And so when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here in Matthew 5, Jesus came. Jesus never preached heaven. He always preached the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So, saints, let's be scriptural. Praise the Lord. So what we think by, when we say I want to go to heaven, what we mean is I want to go to God and have my problems solved. I want to be at peace in God, in Christ, and with my loved ones. And that, if we get that, we have a true vision. And that means that we have to be changed. We have to be made fit. Because we just bring our meanness into heaven. No, we don't want that. It's the quality of people in the presence of God that makes heaven. And when God and Jesus come to the earth, then heaven will come to the earth. So heaven is a state of being and relationships and quality of humans and saints and angels. All right, now, I think in these first 10 verses, you've got the whole thing. Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. You can say blessed or blessed. They're both English words, and they're a little different, but blessed is more archaic, but I guess it means the same. It's more poetic. All right. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Now, that's the first thing Jesus came out with. And what it means is this. We cannot enter into the kingdom when we are full of our own ways. You could say, for theirs is heaven or theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. You see, how that makes it a little different, doesn't it? All right, you say, blessed is heaven or blessed is the kingdom of heaven. It's the same thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God when we are full of our own ways. Proud, spiritually strong in the sense of knowing, I've got the answers. A person, we see so much of this today, people say the violent will take the kingdom. I know Jesus said that, but I still do not understand what he meant. Because he doesn't say here the violent will take the kingdom. He says the poor in spirit will take the kingdom. That's hard for us who are Americans because we are basically a proud people. You see this when you go to a country like India. You can see the difference in people. We are a proud people. I noticed this in the airplane when they were cleaning the plane. I mentioned this before, where in places that we stopped, like Hong Kong and other, they were still in the Orient. When the sweepers came through on the on the plane, they came down on their hands and knees and got under the seats and picked up papers. You would never see an American cleaning an airplane like that. Crawling through on his stomach and reaching out, laying on his face on the carpet and reaching under the seats. Women, humble. The whole attitude of the people, Mary, is a whole different cast. You notice this, if you go into another country, you'll notice when Americans come in, it's brash and crash. We, the people, have done arrived. And, you know, the natives will kind of hang back because all cultures are not like that. They have never had the education or the wealth to be that kind of a temperament. But we Americans are that way. And that's one thing that we have to, you can't enter into the kingdom like that. You can't enter into heaven like that. A child enters in. And so God has to bring us down to where we are not certain of ourselves, where we are not sure of our education or sure of our ability. And this breaking is difficult, especially if we've been in a church for any length of time, a spiritual church. Sometimes in Pentecost we get to kind of wheeze the people. It's no good. It won't wash in the kingdom. The kingdom is for the poor in spirit. People who have come to an end of themselves, who realize that there's nothing that they can do. And that's not talk. That's a real thing that God brings us. We don't have the answer. We're not able, oh, I got the answer. I'll fast and pray and do this. I'll do the next thing. Whatever it is, our thing is, we're sure. It may work for a while. But then God brings us down. And we say, well, I can't even do that. I can't even do that. I had good success teaching children when I was an elementary school teacher in particular. I taught high school, elementary, college, but I always enjoyed the elementary school the best, and I had a kind of a knack for it, right? Fifth grade level. It just was easy for me to do. And rich neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, it didn't matter. It was something I loved to do. I loved the kids, and it just seemed to get along. It was just a kind of a mutual admiration society. And we had fun. We really had fun. And the kids learn. Kids will learn when they're having fun. I don't mean you're catering to them, playing games. I mean when they enjoy what's going on. Relationships, again, is the foundation of learning. Makes it possible. Kids hate you, they won't learn. If they love you, they'll learn anything you teach them, whether it's calculus or what it is. They'll learn it if they love you. And that's the kind of a thing we had going. But the last class that I taught, and Mary Dillinger knows this well because I had the class half a day and she had the other half a day, was the sixth grade, and it was Christian kids, and I couldn't teach it for sour beans. I was all thumbs, and it made me know that, Thompson, you can't even do that yourself. Poor in spirit. What is it that you can do real well without God's help? Huh? What is it you can do real well without God's help? So that attitude, and spiritually, is so important. We in Pentecost do not have all the answers. There's a lot of Baptist people. There's a lot of Christian Missionary Alliance. There's a lot of Nazarene people. There's a lot from other groups. We, I think, sometimes are characterized in Pentecost by a know-it-all and will not wash in the kingdom. We're not better than anybody because we speak in tongues. And so Jesus wants us to be poor in spirit, humble in spirit, realize, God, if I don't wait on you in this thing, I just can't cut the mustard. I'm not going to do it. That's a child. That's the child's attitude. They do not come on the scene knowing everything. They come on wide-eyed asking questions. And a child is, most children, unless they're spoiling some way, are basically humble. Though in our culture, I think we get at them by the time they're 10. But it's a childlike nature that enters the kingdom. That's what's going to be true in heaven. We want to call it that. But it's more a state of being. It's what makes heaven heaven is that childlike nature. So God teaches us that. And then it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, here's something that really is contrary to the whole stuff that's being taught today, is that the purpose of the gospel is to get it now. And if I'm not happy now, something's wrong. Praise the Lord. If I can't have what I want now, then I'm going to make people around me miserable. And it isn't God's will, because it's certainly not God's will for me to be unhappy. But the nature of the kingdom is one of doing without for a season. Doing without, not because we don't want stuff, or because we enjoy being beat on the head. He didn't say, blessed are you that mourn. He said, blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. And the trade is this: we can get what we want now and pay later. Or we can take the way of the cross with the glory ahead. And if there's anything truer to the kingdom of God than that, I do not know what it is. And that's the message of the rich man and Lazarus. People say the rich man didn't accept Christ because he went to hell. So he went to hell. He never was presented with Christ. It did not even comment on his goodness or his badness. And Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. It does not say he was a righteous man. He may have been a liar and a thief for all we know. All we know about Lazarus was that he was poor. And all we know about the rich man was that he was rich. And that's all that it says. That's all that it says. And when Jesus explained that parable, he said this: Lazarus, or Abraham, I guess, was the one that said it. Lazarus in the world was miserable, but now he's happy. And you in the world were happy, but now you're miserable. And that's the only commentary on it. It hasn't done that to do with salvation or accepting the Lord or anything else. It has to do with this principle of the kingdom is, blessed are you who mourn now, for you shall be comforted. That for us Americans is very difficult, because we are success-oriented, because we have more than most people in the world, and because we're used to the good life. You look at the news and see how people are responding to a depression, and a lot of it is genuine, and I certainly have sympathy for people who are fighting financial battles, because the poverty is a grinding, miserable state to be in. It's a grinding, miserable state to be in. Poverty is. We don't know where the rent's coming. You get a flat in your car, you about have a nervous breakdown because you can't raise $2 to get it fixed. And I've been there, and I know what it's like to be poor. It's terrible. It's miserable. It'll make your home a shambles because everybody's ground down to a fine thing. And I'm not saying anything about that, but you watch what happens in our nation. If something doesn't happen pretty soon, so people are getting basically what they want, there's going to be rebellion in the streets. Because we have had so much for so long, we do not understand the principle of sacrificing now to get something later. I've got to have it now. And even in the natural realm, we used to understand that a person went into a thing with great discipline, realizing that maybe 10 or 15 years later would come the payoff. But now, boy, I've got to have it now, and how come they've got this and I don't have it? Nothing to say with how that individual you're looking at may have worked or anything else. I have my rights. Teenage rights. That which is no blessing to the teenagers, it's a curse, because it caused them to misunderstand the nature of life and of the kingdom of God. Boy, you start too high, you've got no place to go but down. And if spring comes too early, you end up at 19 jaded, on pills, disillusioned, disenchanted. It's wrong even in the natural. In the kingdom of God, it's disastrous. Jesus said to us, you take the root of denial now, and I'll give you glory in the age to come. And in Romans 8, it says, if we suffer, that we may be glorified together. And if we'll take this, we'll be able to stand throughout anything that's coming. But if we got this idea that God's people have got to be happy and he won't let them suffer and all this other abominable garbage that's being preached, God won't let his people suffer. He loves us too much to let us suffer when Romans 8 says we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter all the day long. We are in a wrong notion. Blessed are you who mourn now, and I know many in this church have problems now, especially because you're seeking the Lord hasn't relieved them. It may have made them worse. Blessed are you who mourn now, for you shall be comforted. And if you go God's way, your end will be well. But if you do not take it and you say, I've got to have it now, I won't stand thirsting for one single thing. I've got to have it now. Get it now. You'll pay later. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The goal of redemption is the inheriting of the earth. I've said this many times. He did not say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit heaven. He did not mean, blessed are the meek. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit heaven. That's not our inheritance. Our inheritance is the earth. When Jesus gets the people of the quality that he wants, meek means humble, teachable, able to learn, able to change. The opposite is proud and hard, obdurate, unwilling to learn, unwilling to change. That is the opposite of meek. You won't inherit anything. You won't inherit a thing except trouble is your heart. He that hardens his heart and stiffens his neck, being oft reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And God will deal with you and deal with you. Bend your neck, bend your knee, and say, God, help me not to be proud. Because if you are humble, you shall inherit the earth. And that's the inheritance of the saints. Because God and Christ in the saints, all this blessed glory is coming to the earth until the glory of God fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what the prophets say. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. We're going to inherit the earth. Say, I don't want the earth. I want to go in the spiritual realm. No, you don't. What you want is God. See? What you want is God. Make that transition. Where Jesus is to his heaven. Is that right? Ah, listen. When Jesus is at hand, you will want nothing else. You won't think about anything else. When he comes, he satisfies that thing that is not satisfied. We hope when I get a new sofa, I'll be satisfied, but we're not. When I get that new car, I'll be satisfied. When I get that job, when I get married. A lot of girls get that. Oh, if I could marry this guy, I'd be in heaven. You'll be in heaven, all right. You'll be in heaven, all right. When I graduate and get my degree, then I'll be happy. When I get this thing, I'll be happy. When I lose 20 pounds, I'll be happy. Yeah? It won't work. Is that right? Have you found that to be true? It isn't very often, Bill, that we have a deep sense of satisfaction that all is well, that's continuing. It's in Jesus. And when he draws near to you and touches you, you need nothing else. All these other things we thought would make it. To die and go to be to heaven, if I could just walk on the streets of gold. No, that won't do it. Jesus is where it is. Praise the Lord. That's what makes heaven heaven, is Jesus. For he's filled with all the glory of God. We shall inherit the earth. But today we see that people are trying to inherit the earth by strife, by violence. Never do it. Hitler tried it. Didn't work. Mussolini tried it. Didn't work. Genghis Khan tried it. Didn't work. Julius Caesar. You cannot inherit the earth by violence. It can't be inherited that way. It has to be inherited by meekness. Praise the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I want to speak just a minute about the will. Your will. hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, we preach in this church perfection. And you say that word, you'll turn people off. They'll turn off the radio. They don't believe it's possible. And what it floods up in their mind is, I know myself. I'm a bundle of commotion. I know my home. I know my doubts. I know my fears. I know my mistakes and my failures. And to talk about perfection only makes a bad situation worse. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, what do we do then? Do we lower the standard? Do we say, well, God, you have told us that you want us to be like your Son, to be as He is in this world. You've told us to put away sin. You've told us to get the victory over these things. What do we do now? Say it's not possible? A little fornication, a little lie in the real estate transaction or when we're selling a car, a little profanity, a little wine, a little booze, it isn't going to hurt anybody. See, we're not perfect. We're human. This is the rationale. God says, put it away. Put away your lying. Put away your booze. Put away your drugs, any form of drugs, whatever it is. I come down on tobacco quite a bit because I don't want the young people to get hooked on that. Listen, you talk to people, Christians, who are hooked on cigarettes, and you'll find out that it's easy to start and hard to stop. Don't start something like that. The recent thing out on cigarette smoking is that if the parents smoke in the house, it causes middle ear infection in the children. This is the latest. Nobody can tell me that's of God, to bring a curse into your family upon yourself. Young people, don't start smoking. It's not cool. It's stupid. And some people can get so hooked on it, they can't quit. Drugs. God doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. Jesus doesn't need pills. Jesus doesn't need marijuana to be happy. He doesn't need booze. He doesn't need cigarettes. He doesn't need fornication. He's got the real stuff. So they say, well, Brother Thompson, you preach it, but we're human beings. I know we're human beings. God isn't saying to us, strive with all your might till your eyeballs pop out like corks. He says, I have the power. I am a redeemer. Hallelujah. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't ask you to do it. Where's the issue then? The issue is in the will. It's in your will. Not your will to do it, but your will to choose God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Now Israel went against people who had lived in where they were living for hundreds of years, who had chariots of iron, who were tough and fighting for their homes. God said, the land is yours, take it. There shall no enemy stand before you all the days of your life. But Israel went into these lands, and when they were fought, they made a choice of will. God never failed them. There's not an instance of the Bible where people went forth to war in the name of the Lord, whether they were few or many, that they were defeated. When they were defeated is when they took their eyes off God and put them on the enemy. And they said, well, and they began to reason. We're just a small people. These people are on the hill. We're in the valley. They have chariots of iron. We don't have. They began to reason about why it was impossible for God to do what He said He would do. It's a choice that you make in your brain. You don't overcome the world by your efforts. You overcome it by faith. And faith is an act of will. You choose to believe or you choose to disbelieve. Now, when you hear the message of the kingdom, part of this Sermon on the Mount contains these words, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." You say it's not possible, then say the Bible is not possible. Say God can't do it. So, we're all human beings, okay? None of us in here can do this thing by ourselves. There's not a person here. If you think you can, you're mistaken. You cannot do it. But there is one thing you can do. You can say, "Father, I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. And I believe that you can do it." And once you take that posture, you have the power that formed the galaxies. And if that isn't bigger than the common cold, I give up. If that can't take care of the things in our life, and if God Almighty cannot supply our needs and heal our bodies and make us morally strong and deliver us from the devil, we might as well pack up and go home. Because the Bible is a big lie between leather covers. Hallelujah. I say we're better off preaching what the Bible says and believing God than looking around at our circumstances and saying, it's not possible. Praise the Lord. Do you agree with me? Now, it's got to come out of your mouth when you talk to your friends. What you believe. You've got to make a conscious effort. Say, God, I've fallen on this thing again. But I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. And God, though I'm failing, you're not a failure. And God will do it. Or the Bible is not true. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that doesn't mean 90% of them, or it doesn't mean your case is an exception. It means that's why he was manifested. And if you don't quit with your will and say, like the Israelites say, it's too much. We'll live in the valley and let them live on the hill. Or make them hewers of wood and drawers of water. Or some other rationalization. If you refuse to do that and say, I know I'm imperfect, I know I've got this problem, but I know the Bible says what it says, and I choose to believe God, it'll come to pass someday. Praise the Lord. I made up my mind to it. Praise the Lord. I made up my mind to it. This is the way we move ahead in God. Not by changing the standard, but by insisting that God do what he said and refusing to believe differently. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness. They shall be filled. He didn't say they have to do it in their own strength. And he didn't say to forget about it and let God do it all. He said they shall be filled. And Israel did not enter into the land by sitting on their do-nothing and letting God do it all. They had to fight. And they had to believe. And fight and believe and fight and believe. And every tribe that did that got their land, and those that didn't, didn't. Praise the Lord. And God was the same for all of them, but they would not. They chose to murmur and complain. Praise God. That's part of the kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now what this teaches us is the law of cause and effect that operates in the kingdom. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you sow mercy, you reap mercy. If you sow bitterness, you'll reap bitterness. Now, there's been some discussion in the churches, not here, but in other places, doesn't, after all, the gospel do away with this law? The gospel is not the divine means of changing kingdom principles. It's not what it is. Jesus didn't come on the one hand and preach these things and then turn around after his resurrection and change the whole thing altogether and say, now you're under grace, you can be unmerciful, but you're going to reap mercy because you've accepted Christ. That's not true. Jesus, in his life, came and gave the laws of the kingdom. And then he died to make it possible, died and rose from the dead to make the Sermon on the Mount possible, not to change it. And when the millennium comes and God comes to the earth, these are the laws that will be kept. And the world is not keeping them now, and maybe most of the church isn't keeping them. But it's God's will that we keep them. And whatever we reap, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Somewhere down the line, we're going to reap it. Now, we can come to God. We could be an unmerciful, hard person. And then become a Christian, and God will forgive our sins. But we may find throughout our life that people deal with us very unmercifully. And God brings to our mind. Did you ever have that happen? Huh? How many know that many times we pay for what we did before we were saved or after we were saved? It isn't that God didn't forgive us. He did forgive us. But he's letting us get some insight and get a taste into what it's like. And because this principle obtains, if you're, whatever you deal, if you deal with a generous hand, people will deal with you with a generous hand. If you freely give, it will be freely given to you. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood, is not intended as God's means of evading the laws of the kingdom. That's probably the single greatest misunderstanding in the fundamental churches, is that grace is a means, it's an alternative to godly living. And in fact, I think in some cases, the teachers have gone so far as to say the Sermon on the Mount doesn't even apply to Christians. Because they see, well, it's inconsistent. If we're saved by grace, what does this have to do with it? And they've come to the conclusion, well, this is for the Jews and the other is for us. See, that's why the church is in the mess that it's in, because we do not understand that what Jesus was teaching us is the kingdom into which we are entering. See? So it's important that we understand that the kingdom is a state of being into which we are entering. And that's what makes heaven heaven, as opposed from a place where we go, where everything is solved on the basis of, I'm tempted to say, an incantation. A belief in something, we say Jesus' name, raise our hand, and that's it, now we go to the happy land. That's not the kingdom. It's not in the Bible. We'd pollute the place if we went there like that. It's not a place for unchanged people. Praise God. I thought you'd like that, yeah. All right. We will reap what we sow. All right. Now, number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we find the same thing in Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Again, all right, let's look at it this way. Is the purpose of the atoning blood and the born-again experience, is the purpose of that to bring into God's presence and into fellowship with Him people who are sinful and rebellious? Is that the purpose of God's grace through Christ? Is to take people who basically are sinful and rebellious and give them fellowship with God and enable them to see God. Is that the purpose of our salvation, do you think? That's the way it's preached. That's the way it's preached. You'll see God whether or not you're holy. You'll see God because you have been saved. Oh, listen. When I see Him look upon His face, there to sing forever, saving grace. And you've got people in church singing that hate their brother. That's right. You ever hear that song? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Now, there's some in Pentecostal churches where the ministers are stealing money. Hey? They're sure they're going to see his face. And people sitting, flirting with their neighbor's wife, doing all kinds of things. Kids running them up in the restroom back of the church. Worse than that, too, going on. I've seen it in conventions going on. People sitting there, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. See? Because they believe that redemption means that no matter what we're like, through the blood we're going to see him. Is that the purpose of the blood? Or is the purpose of the blood and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to change us? The difference. Is the kingdom of heaven a house of cards in which we're saying something is true when it isn't true on the basis of the substitutionary work of Christ? Or is the kingdom of heaven God in Christ in people? Which is it? You see the difference? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Will we look on God if we are not pure in heart? Huh? Yes or no? Will we look on God if we are not pure in heart? Can it be done? Is this what the gospel is? A means of enabling the sinful to look on God? No. But aren't my blood go into the, my prayers go into the holy place? Yes. They go into the holy place because we have an anchor there. The precious blood of Jesus. But why do we receive, why does our prayer go there? So that we may receive grace to help in our time of need. Well, what is our time of need? When we're not doing the Lord's will, and we're going around with a guilty conscience, and we're beat down, and we get physically sick, and we're emotionally sick and tired, and we're not doing the Lord's will, and we come before God, and He doesn't say it's all right because Jesus is perfect. He says, I'll send you strength from the sanctuary to change you. Hallelujah! And He sends moral strength, and He sends physical strength, and He sends mental strength until we are able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. And when He has made our hearts pure by His Spirit, then we shall see God. That's the relationship between Paul's teaching and the Sermon on the Mount. The sinner will not look on God. Hebrews is well over into the New Testament, speaking to the saints. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Man, the church needs to be awakened. The church is asleep, brother. The church is ignorant of the gospel, of the kingdom. We're preaching a myth. The kingdom of God is at hand. Never mind what's out in the blue. This is at hand. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We say, well, John 1:12, as many as received Him. But notice what it says. To them gave He power to become. He gives the right to become. And James has a wonderful section. Pastor James, listen, I'd love to have been in James' church, but I tell you, he'd take the wig right off your head with his preaching. I kid you not. You go out of there balder than a plucked bird. James, he was some preacher, this Jew. And he had something to say about peacemakers. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? And he's not talking about the unsaved. He's talking about the people that attended his church. He was a pastor in a large church in Jerusalem. Elder James. You know, he was rough. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?
Blessed are the peacemakers. We want to be called sons of God by vicariously. No, we're sons of God if we're peacemakers. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, but you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Wars and fightings. And we can call ourselves Christians till the cows come home. But we're not sons of God if we've got wars and fightings. That's true in our homes. That's true wherever we are. We're either a peaceable person that promotes peace and blessedness and quietness. And you know, two people can go into the same situation that is has a potential for trouble. One will turn it into harmony, and the other one will cause a bad situation to get worse. That's true among Christians. There'll be a potential for arguing. One will come in with a spirit of peace, and it's a healing. It's just like oil in the water. The next one's got a spirit of argument. If there's an argument within 2 miles, it's attracted to them like steel to a magnet, and they'll start fussing like that. That's not a peacemaker. That's not a child of God. That's a fusser. I say, blessed are the fussers. Well, there's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which persecuted. Well, we haven't had that for righteousness. Most of our trouble has been because it's unrighteousness on our part. But in the day when our good is evil spoken of, we can begin to think about the sufferings of Christ. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We haven't suffered much yet for the gospel. Most of us in here have probably not suffered much for the gospel. But the day may come, according to David Wilkerson, when we're persecuted. If that is the truth, and if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, we can leap for joy. Because that is the way to get the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's ask God to help us this morning. Lord Jesus, we've said merely what you have said. Lord, as you sat and taught the multitudes about the kingdom which is to come to the earth, Lord, hallelujah, help us, Lord, to have clear minds in this business, Lord, and not to take retreat, Lord, in the notion that will we get into heaven or not, Lord, but to realize that heaven's got to get into us. It's got to get into us, Lord, if we can't bring hell into heaven, not anyway, through Christ or apart from Christ, we can't bring hell into heaven. Help us to realize, Jesus, and give us what you said and what John said and what the apostles said, and cleanse from our hearts and minds all that is not of you. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. There may be some here this morning, and your hearts are not pure. They're not pure, and you know they're not pure. You're dwelling on things that are not pure. And you need deliverance this morning. While every head is bowed, you want to slip up your hand and put it down. I see those hands. I knew that was on the spiritual burden today. Are there any others? I knew that was there. I see those hands. Are there any others? This is just for you to make contact with God. I see that hand. Just for you to make contact with God. I want to issue another prayer too. Another question. Maybe you're here this morning and your will has been tampered with. And you've been defeated along a physical line or moral line or whatever. And you're rationalizing. Rationalization will lead to complaining and murmuring, and that which in turn will lead to bitterness, which goes nowhere. And God wants your will to be fresh and clean, whether you yourself are victorious or not. God wants you to speak victory and to settle for nothing less than the kingdom principles. And you feel that you've let down in your hunger and thirst after righteousness and are settling for something less than God's best. And you need strength this morning. You slip up your hand and put it down. Amen. Are there any others? It's so important, your will, the choices that you make. I see that hand. Are there any others? So important. God isn't asking you to pull yourself out of the pit. Just to believe that He'll do it and to cooperate with Him when He starts. You've got to say the right thing and believe the right thing. Are there any others? Any others? All right, we're going to go to prayer right now. Praise the Lord. Just believe as we pray, and God will help. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Him who created the heavens and the earth, who has all authority and all power in heaven and upon the earth, we come in His name, the name of Jesus, at the name that every knee shall bow. Now, Lord, we come. You said that You want pure minds and pure hearts, Lord. Every thought be brought into obedience to Jesus Christ. Now we come against these wicked and filthy imaginations in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we command You to leave this building now in the name of Jesus. You filthy thoughts and filthy things in the heart and in the mind, we bind You in the name of Jesus the Lord, and we expel You from this building. Satan, You will leave. You will leave. In the name of Jesus, You will leave. The root of You, You will leave. Hallelujah. Every one of you, every one of you, every one of you, filthy thoughts and filthiness of heart that has been confessed this morning, you will leave this building in the name of Jesus the Lord. That Jesus was manifested to break your chains, and we pronounce after Him, we come after Him, and we say that He has said this and it is so. Hallelujah. Every one of you, you leave this building, filthy things. You belong in hell. God's people are not to be dwelling on your filthy thoughts. Filthy thoughts. Leave the hearts and the minds of those who have confessed you as sin. And sin you are, and fit for hell, and we disown you. Now, Father, into each of these hearts, we pray, will come a spirit of purity. A spirit of purity, purity, holiness, the knowledge of God. Hallelujah, Lord, so that one day we shall be able to look upon Your face with a pure heart. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. Now, Lord, we come on the behalf of those whose will has been affected and weakened by the assaults of the enemy, and because they have taken their eyes from You and have fastened them on themselves, or on their surroundings, or on the culture, or on the television, and have gone down in a tailspin. We come now, Lord, and ask for restoration this morning. We ask You, Lord, these are confessing their need, Lord, and You said we have a hope that goes in behind the veil, Lord, in our hour of need. And we have a need this morning, Lord, and that is for our will to be strengthened and brought up to biblical standards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we pray for each one who raised his hand this morning, right now, in the name of Jesus. And we pray that their will be raised up, Lord, and their hope and their faith will be restored in what God has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We're not saying they should fix themselves. We're asking You to make the difference this morning, Lord, and to reach in and to take hold of that weak area right now. And to give them such a hunger and thirst after righteousness that they will never cease until Your will has been done in their life. Lord, we do not measure ourselves by our own standards. Lord, we ask that You will measure us and You will judge us, Lord, and raise us up by Your almighty wisdom and power. Now, Lord, Your word says that we shall ask what we will. We have not because we ask not. We ask this morning, in the name of Jesus, not for our lust, Lord, but that You will give us a new will and a clean will and a strong will and a will that staggers not at the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, for these that raise their hand, make them like Jesus and fill them with righteousness by the power of God, by the power that's in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That lifts up the sinner and makes them a saint. Praise Your name. Do it for these that raise their hand, Lord. Hallelujah. Show them Your power. Show them, Lord, by some instant works of moral deliverance so they can see, Lord, what they're in for is the mighty power and hand of God breaking the yoke of the devil in their lives and giving them hope where it's all is hopelessness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so we will continue to believe, Lord, until we stand in your image, and we shall be satisfied, Lord, when we awake with thy likeness. Praise your name. In your image, as you are, so are we in this world, Lord. Wonderful Jesus, let every spirit of despair and discouragement be departing from us now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give hope and faith in what you have said, Lord, in the power of the Redeemer. In the power of the Redeemer. In the power of the Redeemer, Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Let's just receive into ourselves the power that is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever you have need for. Receive into yourself the power that's in Jesus. The power to overcome sin. The power to turn night into day. The power to heal every affliction. The power to give hope to the discouraged. Hallelujah. The power that's in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. We receive that power into ourselves to meet every need. Hallelujah. We receive the power that's in the name of Jesus into ourselves. Let the devil take flight before the ark of thy grace, O Lord. The ark of thy power. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, let every need be met. At the name of Jesus, cause every demon to flee. At the name of Jesus, we will lift up our standard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, fill your people with power, Lord. Fill them with hope this day. Turn our darkness into day. Turn the night of our sorrow into the morning of joy. Hallelujah. Give us the spirit of rejoicing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The power that's in thy name, Lord. The power that's in thy name. Hallelujah. 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 The power that's in the name of Jesus. The power that's in the name of Jesus. The power that's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Because Sandalabaka Hashili Arabahaya. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, his power is here. Is there anyone that has not been serving the Lord? You've not been serving him. You'd like to start this morning? And you'd like to just step out into the aisle and say out loud so we can hear you, I'm going to serve the Lord from now on. I just feel I have to say that before I dismiss. Is there anyone who has not been serving the Lord? You've not been serving him. You want to begin right now. I'm not going to tarry here. I just would like that to happen. If that's someone in here in that frame of mind, you're going to start serving the Lord now. You just want to testify to earth and heaven that this is the case. Is there anyone like that? Feel a peculiar stirring in my spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is here this morning. Is there anyone that has not been serving him? You're going to start serving him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Anyone, you have not been serving the Lord as you should, and you want to start again, or for the first time, you want to start, stand out in the aisle and say so. I feel you should stand out and say so, and it'll break the yoke in your life. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that here this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. These are your people. These are your people. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Praise God. You'll get deliverance. You'll get victory if you do. God will break the yoke if you do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Habaraka handalalabaka hasilia. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus in my soul, for I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Hallelujah. Let you go. Oh, Jesus. Thanks God I've spoken to someone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do this morning. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Let these sayings sink down deep into your heart. For the day is upon me. The day is when I am calling forth my beloved. I am calling them, even as a butterfly does stir itself in a cocoon, to come forth. So these are beginning to stir in the cocoon. They're beginning to stir, and they'll burst forth and leave us behind. And they'll soar with me. But those who have been satisfied with the wretchedness of their own flesh shall be as left behind. They shall be discarded. They shall be no more.
Amen. Is that it? Hallelujah. Is that it for this morning? Has everyone obeyed God? You've done what God wanted? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to have to dismiss this one. Amen. Turn and face the people and tell me I'm going to make a new... I know it's hard. I'm going to make a new start for God.
Oh, I know.
Yes,
Lord.
Is there anyone else?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I call you by name. I call you by name. It has not been uttered, but I have called you by name, and you have heard it. You have heard my voice. I have called you by name. And I tell you, I call you now. I call you now. And do not put your trust that I may call you again. But answer when you hear me calling my name. Answer now. that day may not come when you will hear it uttered again. But answer when I call, and you have heard your name this day.
Amen.
God's loving anyone else better come. Better obey the Lord. Better obey the Lord for anyone else. Better obey the Lord. God has spoken to your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, and I know this is hard for these people to do this, but this is what it's going to say. Praise the Lord. This is what I'm going to say. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? What you're saying is phenomenal. I'm going to serve the Lord. This is a new step for me, a new beginning. Okay, I'm going to start with John then. Tell the congregation.
We're going to serve the Lord. I have been serving the Lord like I should. And I really want to because really the greatest honor in the universe.
Special blessing on each one of these, Lord, that has come forward. All that has been mentioned, Lord, will be lifted, the past completely washed in your precious blood, and that the double washing, Lord, of thy grace, thy goodness, thy joy, and thy power and thy wisdom and thy deliverance, Lord, will be upon them, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, especially bless them. Lord, they're for doing what they did, Lord, because we know it was hard, but we know that you have commanded and they have obeyed, Lord. You will be faithful to bless them. Now bless them out of hand, Lord. And bless us all together, Lord, those that should have come, Lord, perhaps, but didn't. We pray you'll deal with them, Lord, and bring them to the cross. Just bring them to the place, Lord, of humility. And all of us, Lord, together. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time, Lord, that we could be strengthened by these confessions. All of us be strengthened. Thank you for that, Lord. Help them, especially in each one of us, Lord, the trouble with the same thing. Thank you now. Your blessing be on each one in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Praise the Lord. You're next.